Good morning to you all in Sunderland. I greet you from Newcastle on this Pentecost Sunday, the day where we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit and the power that that gives us as a church body. And we're so grateful that when Jesus went, he told us that he was leaving with us the gift of the Holy Spirit. And I hope as Pentecostal believers, you use that gift on a daily basis, because it's there to enhance our lives and to give us great power. So I trust you're all doing really well. And I'd like to share a few thoughts with you this morning on probably one of my favourite Bible characters, and that's Peter. And I'm just going to pray just before I start that, Father, you will minister life to everyone who's watching this morning or whenever it's watched, that Father, you would speak to us where we are at, and anything specific that needs to jump out at people, let that be the case from this word today. In Jesus' name, amen. So Peter, our lovely Peter, and you know, the reality is, if you know Jesus today and you're watching this, one day you'll be able to sit like I'm sat on a sofa now and sit next to Peter and say, hey, what was that like? What was that like? What was it like when he walked on water? And Peter was there, wasn't he, with Jesus? He was full on. Peter, James and John, he was named as the three when the stories are told of Jesus and his adventures. Peter was right there. But he was to have a spectacular failure in his life. And let's just take a look at that failure and what that looked like. Our first reading is Mark 14, 28 to 31. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said to them, you will all fall away, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. But after I am raised up, he said, after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee. And Peter jumps in and he says, even though they all leave you, I will not. So it's like, oh, come on, Jesus. Even if they all go, I'm not going to go. And Jesus said to him, truly I tell you, this very night. So this is the day it happened, not a few months later. This very night before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times. But he said emphatically, if I must die with you, I will not deny you. And they all said the same. They all said the same. I think I read from verse 26 there, sorry. 26 to 31. Even if I've got to die, Jesus, I'm not going. And even if they all leave you, I'm not going to leave you. No way. You're my best friend. I'm not going to leave you in the lurch. And then just a few hours later, we know what happened. But before we get to that, let's carry on in Mark 14 and look at verses 53 to 54, and glasses on, so read the right verses. 53 to 54, and they led Jesus to the high priest, and all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes came together. Can you imagine the scene? Jesus being brought before all these people. The high priest, the chief priests, the elders, the scribes were all there to get Jesus. Verse 54, and Peter had followed him at a distance, right into the courtyard of the high priests. So he went into the courtyard of the high priest, but he stayed back. He followed him from a distance, and he was sitting with the guards and warming himself at the fire. I want to interject into this message here this morning. Don't make sure you're not sitting with the guards. Where are you sitting now as far as Jesus is concerned? Are you following him from a distance? Are you joining in with what your church is trying to do right now through these very difficult times to lead church. I'm not sure if you're back in person or not. I guess you're not, because I'm doing a video. But are you engaging in what's happening? Are you praying for your church through this transition period? Or are you sitting with the guards and you're a bit nonplussed? If anyone came and talked to you about what you did at the weekend, do you say things like, oh, I just stung around the house? Or are you following him closely to be able to say, I was involved in church, or I know church is not the be all and end all, but for me it's a crucial part of a Christian's life, in my opinion. And so for Peter in this story, he had two other choices that he could have made on this night. He could have stayed at home, which would have meant he wouldn't have found himself in this position of having to answer all these questions that were coming at him. Like, oh, I know you, you were with him. And then somebody else said, oh, I recognise you. You're one of the Galileans that hung around with Jesus. If he'd have been at home, they couldn't have done that. If he'd have gone right into where Jesus was, because the very next verse saying that the chief priests and the whole council were seeking testimony against Jesus to put him to death. If he'd have gone into that room and stood right by Jesus, everybody would have known that Peter was with him. But he didn't stay at home. He didn't go into the court with Jesus. He sat with the guards in no man's land. And so when the questions came at him, the only thing, his default was to say, I don't know him. I don't know what you're talking about. Please stop asking me these awkward questions. Please don't ask me about what I did on Sunday. Please don't ask me about God and church, because to be honest, I'm just sat with the guards. I do believe, and I feel like I would say I wouldn't let Jesus down, but I'm not going to stay at home and I'm not going to get close to Jesus. I'm going to sit with the guards and just hope that nobody sees me. Nobody notices me. Where are you sat this morning? Ask yourself the question, where are you sat? By the time he's been asked a few times by these people and been accused, really, of being a friend of Jesus, by the time we get to verse 71, it's getting really bad with Peter. And he's invoking a curse on himself and swearing, I don't know this man of whom you speak. I'm sure that he wasn't whispering it or saying it calmly. I'm sure he was getting a bit irate. We know Peter's temper. He just chopped a guard's ear off, so you know, we know what it was like. So I'm pretty sure he's shouting, I don't know this man. Not only did he say he wasn't close, he said he didn't know him. And just a few hours before, he was saying to Jesus, even if they all go, I won't go, I'm staying with you because you're my mate. And just a few hours later, he's swearing his head off and invoking all these curses. And then the rooster crowed. And I want to look at the version that Luke writes about in Luke 22. It always makes me wonder what this moment must have been like in Peter's life. And it's in verse 60, this kind of continuing the same story from Mark. It's like Peter's at his wit's end and his last vestige of getting it out there that, man, I do not know what you are talking about. And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the saying of the Lord, how he had said to him, he had to remember, it was only a few hours before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times. And he went out and wept bitterly. The interpretation of that, when Jesus turned to look, because if you just imagine for a moment what Jesus was going through, pain of being slapped across the face and scorned and mocked and punched and kicked, he still heard the rooster and he obviously recalled what he said to Peter. And Peter must have been close enough for Jesus to see him. And Jesus turns and looks at Peter, and it's just like, oh, Jesus, that was your friend who really let you down spectacularly. It was a spectacular failure on Peter's part. Do you feel like you've done a spectacular failure? How's it gone for you with your walk with Jesus? Have you stood up for him? Have you ignored him? Have you said, I don't know him? Because it's easier than the questions and the embarrassment you might feel having to say that you know Jesus. Where are you sat? Are you sat with the guards or are you sat with Jesus? I hope you're sat with Jesus. Great news about Peter, as you, most of you will, or I think all of you will know, he also had a spectacular recovery, fantastic recovery. I imagine that, I mean, it doesn't tell us what happened to Peter after the rooster crowed, but I would imagine he probably scarpered home feeling absolutely terrible about what he'd done to his friend and his friends, his extended friends, who didn't, who perhaps stayed a bit more and watched what happened to Jesus. We don't know whether Peter stayed or not, but he must have felt pretty rotten. And then, of course, Jesus does die. Jesus gets buried. And Peter, I'm sure, is in a hole somewhere feeling really bad about what he has done. And then, if we go to John 20, I'm making you go around the books today, I hope you've got your Bible. If we just look at John 20, this is the day of the resurrection. What did Peter feel? I wonder what he felt like. The girls had gone to the tomb, hadn't they? They went to take some spices for Jesus' body. And when they got there, Mary Magdalene, it was empty. Stone was rolled away. And she ran to tell Simon Peter and the other disciples that the one whom Jesus loved, they've taken him out of the tomb. We don't know where he is. They've taken him. So Peter went out with the other disciple, John, and they were running towards the tomb. Both of them were running together. But the other disciple reached the tomb first because he outran Peter, and he reached the tomb first. John stooped in, and he saw the linen cloth lying there, but he didn't go in. Here comes Peter, straight in, following. He went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloth lying there too, and the face cloth that had been on Jesus' head. Then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, but he waited for Peter. John was a bit more hesitant. He looked in first. Peter comes. You can just see him, can't you? You can see him bounding towards the tomb and running straight in, seeing the cloth, seeing the face cloth. And he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scriptures that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples, which I find this really strange, then the disciples went back to their homes. I kind of imagine if that was me, I'd be hanging around there to find out what happened, wouldn't you? I'm not sure I'd just say, oh, well, he's not here, let's just go back home. The girls stayed, of course. And if the boys had stayed, just a few verses later, Jesus ends up being there talking to Mary Magdalene. And if Peter and John had stayed, they'd have seen Jesus, but they didn't. They went home. And if Peter felt bad on the day of the crucifixion, I imagine he felt even worse on the day of the resurrection, because he knew what he'd done to his friend, and he must have felt really bad. And I imagine the next scene I'm going to talk to you about now in Mark, where Peter is, could potentially just be sat in a room, in a corner, in a room saying, don't talk to me, please don't speak to me. What I did was just awful. But I want you to see this verse that you may have seen before. I heard Bill Wilson speak about this. He's the guy who's got the biggest Sunday school in New York. And I heard him speak about this many, many years ago, and it touched my heart so much. And I've spoken on it many times in the past. And it's such a beautiful verse that if you've seen it, you'll know where I'm going. If you haven't, I hope it does to you what it did to me. And you might need to hear this morning yourself. Let's read from verse 1 of Mark 16. When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so they might go and anoint Jesus. So this is the morning of the resurrection. And very early on, the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" Looking up, they saw the stone had already been rolled back, and it was very large. Entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in a white robe. And they were alarmed. I bet they were alarmed. And he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him." This is the verse I want you to get. "But go and tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. And there you will see him, just as he told you." And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. So go and tell his disciples and Peter. They could have just left it. The young man, the angel, could have said, "Go and tell the disciples." But he didn't. He said, "Go and tell his disciples and Peter." Why? Because he knew that Jesus knew Peter needed to hear, "Peter, you're okay. You messed up massively. Spectacularly, you messed up. But I want you to be part of the gang again. You haven't been thrown to one side. You haven't been discarded. You still have massive worth and value to me. So make sure, Mary, when you go back to that upper room and see all the boys, make sure Peter, he'll be the one sat in the corner cowering and crying. Make sure he knows that I'm talking to him as well. I want him to come to Galilee too." And oh, it just touches my heart every time I think about that and how Peter must have felt. What? Jesus, the angel said, "I've got to go as well." Can you imagine his astonishment that Jesus singled him out and said, "Yes, Pete, I want you to be there. And I'm even going to cook breakfast on the beach for you. And we're going to have a great reconciliation and everything's going to be great. And then you, my son, are going to go on to do and teach spectacularly." He had a spectacular failure. He had a spectacular recovery. And then he wrote some spectacular teaching that we have access to today. And time is whizzing by. And so I won't have time to go too deeply into his teaching. But I do want to just bring out two specific chapters and verses that even the first verse I'm going to speak to you today, as I read today in my daily reading, and it just impacted me again and got my thoughts sparking about what to speak to you lovely people about this morning. And it's this in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." I want you to just imagine Peter and his pen, whatever he used, a quill. What did he use? A quill and ink, possibly. I want you just to imagine him sat down in his house or wherever he was and writing that verse, knowing what Jesus had done for him by singling him out in that lovely verse that we just read in Mark. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is," three things, "imperishable, undefiled and unfading, kept in heaven for us." Jesus caused us to be born again and to know that one day that inheritance that's kept in heaven for us, that is imperishable, undefiled and unfading, is waiting for us. How remarkable is that? Spectacular teaching from Peter. And then in 2 Peter, some fantastic verses. Do you want to know how not to fail? Do you want to know how to never fall? It's written for us here in 2 Peter. And again, time won't allow us to read it out, but I encourage you to read it and to pin it somewhere, to make sure that you're doing what Peter's instructing us so that we won't fail. And you might think, what, never fail? That's what Peter says. You can read the whole lot from first three right down to verse 15. I'll just paraphrase it. He's talking about adding to our faith, and not just in any slap-hazard way, but making every effort to add to your faith virtue, knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection, love. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. Here we go. Verse 10, this is, for if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. What a great promise. What a great promise to us today, to make every effort, not make some effort. You know, once we become born again, I totally believe that the enemy can't do anything about our salvation. I believe we're secure. And that the verse that we just read there in 1 Peter about the gift that's kept in heaven for us, I believe it's kept eternally in heaven for us. And that might be controversial to some, but I believe that God doesn't want anyone to perish. And once you become born again, I believe that you are born again for eternity. But he can absolutely rout you, and he can take you out and get, nullify your life and make your life miserable, your family, your marriage, your job, your finances, your health. He can attack those things if we let him, if we allow him to do that. Genesis 4:7 tells us that if we do what's right, will we not be accepted? But if we don't do what's right, sin is crouching at our door and desires to have you, but you must master it. So we have work to do after we become born again. We could absolutely lie back and, you know, not do anything, not go to church, not pray, not read the Bible, and just have an existence, but still go to heaven. I believe that. But if you want a John 10:10 life, you have to make every effort to add to your faith. Be involved in your church. Be involved in a church prayer meeting. Get involved. Stay close to Jesus. Don't sit with the guards. Don't follow him from a distance. So I hope that you've learned some things today about Peter, and maybe just one thing that you think, I need to work on that. Or I don't want to fail. Or I don't want to sit with the guards. I want to walk closely to Jesus. And I'm sure that there's people in your church who will pray with you about that. Again, let me say thank you so much for the offer and the invite to speak to you today. And I speak God's massive blessing upon all of you today and into your future, which I trust is going to be fantastic. God bless you. See you again sometime. Bye.